Good morning. 00 hours. Partly cloudy. 30 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Partly cloudy. 32 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 32 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 33 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 34 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Cloudy. 33 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 37 degrees.
Why is there so much traffic? I was thinking the same thing. Car after car. It's like, good grief. Sat there. Anyhow, I know the weather's nice. Good morning. How are you? I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like Friday there was like no traffic and nobody at work. So maybe that's why everyone took Friday off for whatever reason. But good morning. I'm well. Just making my way here. Trying to.
Yep. Friday was kind of barren. But, man, it's weird. I don't know, maybe hibernators decided, well, today's a good day to go in. People that can do 50-50. Man, this microphone, I do this all the time. I'll be talking, and then you got to really push on it with your thumb to push the talk and find myself relaxing on it a little bit, and it's releasing. So you'll hear a little pause, then I'll go, whoop, hold on. I don't know if you hear that, if that's said when it's unkeyed. But if you hear a funny little break in the middle of my transmissions, it's because of this silly push to talk.
I was wondering that, because I've caught on to it a couple times, and I was wondering how you hold the mic.
Close to 47.
I was wondering if you held it towards like the bottom, and if your thumb is off, if you held it towards the side, your thumb flipped off.
That was a double. Dakota won completely. I could tell there was somebody else in there, but couldn't quite tell. The only thing I heard from the other person was 47. That's the only thing I heard. So go ahead, other person.
Other person identifying as W8RCY, I said, yeah, today's going to be 47 degrees out. If you want to take a day off, today's the day to take off. You almost wear shorts.
Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 36 degrees.
Well, good morning, Donald. Yeah, it would be. I heard 48, so I got one on you from my source, which is Google. So, anyhow, upper 40s anyhow, it's going to feel pretty nice, I'll bet. And if we get sunshine, I don't know, right now I see clouds, but sunshine, so it's not windy, man, that'll feel like summer. Dakota?
Good morning, Donald. Sorry to mean to double with you. But, I'm looking at my truck to see 37 for the first time in a while, and I went out this morning, and it felt like a spring day because it's not negative 10. That actually gets me thinking, I got to go buy some grass seeds and start prepping for, I don't know, you think it's going to stay this way? You think we're in the clear, or you think it's going to dump back down?
Well, by Saturday, it'll be 25, and with a high, and with a slight chance of snow. But today and tomorrow, we'll be in the mid to upper 40s. Will rain Wednesday and Thursday, and might change the snow by Saturday. High at 25. So that's what I saw on the news this morning. All 15 minutes of it that I watched on my phone, and that's it. And now I'm just chillaxing.
I think we're still in it. February and March. March has been known. That was it right there. March has been known to be some of our worst snowstorms. Come in March. So I would say you got a few weeks before you got to start thinking about it. Sometime in March, perhaps. April's, you never know. April's spring pretty much, but I've never seen anything bad. So I've seen the worst snowstorms in March, but it's always, pretty good by April. So March is the magic year, the magic month. And we're almost there.
I'm over it. I'm ready for some decent weather. I'm trying to time it. I got to time it perfectly because I'm frost feeding. So my plan is to, as soon as we know it's starting to warm up, I'm going to throw some seed in the yard and let it frost overnight. When it warms up the next day, it should pull it all down into the dirt and start germinating. So got to time it right, and then hopefully a few weeks after that, I will have a base layer of grass. This dude's driving with all four of his windows down. On M53, but I'll have a base layer of grass that'll at least keep the flood out of the house. So, just patiently waiting.
All four windows down. Well, his car either got stunk, or he's got to get the smell of cannabis out of it, one or the other. Because if I had a car and I was eating White Castles, man, those windows would be up tight and I'd be enjoying that aroma. W8RCY. Sean?
I saw a guy on a Can-Am trike, one of those bitter days that was down in the single digits. He's out on a Can-Am trike. Like, yeah, no thanks. But on that seeding, is there any kind of special seed you got or what'd you get? Because I got a reseed. I don't know if you're seeding or reseeding, but I got to bolster up some grass in a few areas. I'm wondering if that would that same plan would work. I got to get some seed too, though.
It depends on the yard and how much shade and sun you have. I have the opposite of the last house, so I had all shade at the last house and no shade at the new house. So I've got to do a little bit of homework on which seed I'm going to buy. But I want to say the last house, when I was overseeding and just filling in patches, it worked really well. I did some kind of fescue, one of the thinner, lighter grasses, but it took almost immediately and filled in. I had a giant maple tree in the backyard, and it filled it in within like 2 weeks to where I was cutting it with a mower, and it looked like it had been there. So, and it was cheap. I just went to Tractor Supply, bought the 50-pound bag. It was like, I don't know, $60.
I've spent the last 30 years of my life or so, 30, 35 years, living in townhouses and condos and things like that. So I haven't done any, lawn work or, sodding, seeding, any of that stuff, so I'm way out of date on that stuff. I got my new house in 81 when I got married in 80. Yeah, I had to put down a new side. We did four lots, front and back, in the course of about 2 days. Myself and my other three neighbors moving into a brand new sub, and all it was dirt. Yeah, it took us a couple days, but we saved a ton of money when we laid all that sod, and it worked out well for us. The marriage didn't work out, but, you know, all four of us are all divorced, and, well, one's a widow. But, yeah, that was a huge undertaking, putting down that much sod front and back for four houses. Well, I've never had to lay sod, but I've seen it. I know Dave just had sod put in. But, yeah, I got patches where it's real thin, so I just got to overseed in a few areas, and I think I'll do that. I'll just ask the guys at Tractor Supply. I'm sure they'll know what I need. I got to go get some feed for my deer anyhow. Getting low. And, well, there I can figure out what I need to get that. I think I got a broadcast spreader, so I can get it done. But I've been saying that for the last couple of years. I'm going to do this. And I even had the seed 1 year, and I didn't do it. The seed all, it got wet and went bad. So this year I'm going to do it, damn it. I'm going to follow your lead, Dakota.
Donald, I wish I could do sod, but I got a quote for $19,000 to hydro seed my yard. I cannot even imagine what they would charge me to sod it. And Sean, if you need a spreader, I've got a 50-pound earth grow with the pneumatic tires and all that snazzy stuff. Feel free to borrow it. And or depending on what you're doing, sometimes if it's just a spot treat, those little Scott's like hand spreaders, those work good too. But, yeah, I'm gonna try to get on top of it as soon as I can and get her going.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact cost because my one neighbor who was working for Gibbs Wine World at the time knew somebody, and they came out and they gave us one lump sum price for everything, and we all just pitched in our 25% and did it that way. Like I said, that was 1981, and being as old as I am, my memory's not as sharp as it used to be, but yeah, it was just a huge undertaking. It took us, like I said, 2 days to get everything across the front one day and strip between the sidewalk and the street, and then around the back. Nobody had garages up or anything yet at that time. Driveways ended right at the house. So later, the driveway had to be continued on and stuff like that. But we sodded all that immediately anyway because we didn't know how fast we could get garages up. It took me 2 years to get a garage up and extend the cement. So, yeah, so the whole backyard all the way to the property lines in the back were sodded as well. Never do that again. That's why I think I love condos and townhouses and now senior citizens. Sean.
I'll tell you honestly, the only thing that keeps me from something like that, because I don't want it anymore, but I want antennas, you know, ham radio. That's probably one of the biggest factors keeping me from doing that. Other than that, I could easily move to a townhouse. The only problem, I just said one problem, then I'm going to go on to say the only problem. The other thing is, you know, never-ending recurring cost. You know, but I guess in townhouse you own that, right? For a condo, so then there's just some sort of a small maintenance fee or something. I don't know, but my father-in-law both, after they were older, and my dad was widowed and my father-in-law was divorced, and they both got mobile homes in some of the nicer parks up to the north. One of them was in Shelby Woods or whatever. It was at 21 and Van Dyke, and nice park. And my dad was in that one right by Yates Cider Mill. That his backyard went right to Bloomer State Park. And I thought, man, I'd love to be in there. You know, it's a biker's heaven. And, you know, but then you look and you got a lot fee of, you know, like, I don't know, $800, $900 in perpetuity. You know, you never get out from underneath that. And I'm like, holy moly. So that's the one thing that, well, the two things that you can't put up antennas.
It is nice not having an HOA to answer to. I can do whatever the hell I want on my property. When I want, I drive my pickup truck in the backyard to do stuff. But I do, my grandma just bought a condo in Washington Township a couple of years ago, and she doesn't have to touch anything. She can plant whatever flowers she wants, but everyone else weeds, wags, takes care of the snow, cuts the grass. Like, she doesn't have to deal with any of that. So I get that, but then you got the HOA fees because you're not getting that for free. So then you're spending money on HOA. But speaking of antennas, I put up that new one. I haven't really been able to get a good test on how it performs because it's been so damn noisy. But I did make a couple contacts on 40 and 20, so, and I was monitoring duty, so I'll have to give that another shot this weekend or maybe this week if it calms down. Go ahead, Donald.
Yeah, I was looking at options. You know, we have an HOA here, obviously, and I do have my Motorola big box radio, but on my door wall glass, and Sean has seen it, I got about an 8-inch rubber-bladed antenna that's utilized that we use in racing and race cars. I just slapped that on there, and it can hold, I think it's 200 watts of power into it, and yeah, it kicks it, and I can hit anything. I can, you know, even though, and then Sean knows my layout in the sense that that antenna, though it's pointing southwest, will kick back and hit the repeaters in Mount Clemens really well. And sure, the radios are 45-watt radios. But, yeah, there's other things, you know, like we were doing this fantastic thing, and I could probably put a small outdoor system up there and nobody would know that it's there, tuck it into the corner of my balcony. And nobody would know it or nobody would see it. Besides, you can't put satellite dishes for TV on the front side of the campus, but on the back side where I live, yeah, there's about four or five of them on my building alone, and there's maybe even more on the neighboring tower. But that's the only restriction that I think we have, HOA, is antennas. You put antennas up to receive, like I say, television or satellite, but you can't put, ham radio or GMRS antennas up. But I did. Oops, wasn't supposed to say that. John?
If I were living in your situation, I'd have I'd either have something clamped to the rail, like a stick, or if I didn't want to do that, I'd get a 5-gallon bucket and put a mass pipe in it, fill it with concrete, or half fill it, wouldn't even need it filled, and I'd use that to clamp a vertical too, and I'd have that right outside of me, and they said anything, I put a flag on it, say, screw you, I'd fight with them on it, but I'd put a vertical out on the balcony, that's what I'd do, one way or the other, that's just for VHF, UHF, for HF, I have no idea. I mean, there's a lot you could probably try and, you know, it'd be tricky, but you don't need that. You're not worried about that, so. But for VHF, UHF, hell yeah. I'd have a vertical outside on that balcony before you could say, breaker, breaker.
K8RUH. Good morning, Anthony. And Sean, yep, I would do the same thing. I'd have something. I mean, you could get by with even just a mag mount if you're that high up, too. You can run a clamp something on the railing and then put a NMO mount or something. But I'm going to jump out. I'm at the office. I gotta meet a guy that we let go last week, so I got to make sure he's not grabbing things he's not supposed to. So I will catch up with you guys later. Today's an early day, and so it's Tuesday, Wednesday, so maybe I'll talk to you a little bit this week. Everyone have a good day, and ADBF, I am clear.
Good morning, gentlemen. Throw it over to Donald, and I'll hop in on the next go-round.
As far as my situation goes here, I still have a floor above me. I have an open sky balcony. There's no roof over my balcony. I still have one floor, but the ninth floor does not have a balcony, and they can basically look down on my balcony, so I can't do any nude sunbathing. Oh, sorry about that vision, guys. But, yeah, I can't put a bucket or anything, or I can't fix anything to the railing, because if somebody looks down and sees it, it's going to, like, oh, what's that, you know, blocking my view or something like that, and say something to Angela about it. But that would be that, you know. I mean, if I was on the ninth floor with a balcony, open sky, and nothing above me, oh, yeah, something would definitely go up there, a flagpole and a bucket of cement, and put directional antenna up pointed towards Detroit or something, so I can hit the 600, or actually the 625 better, but in that direction. But, yeah, that would be the only thing.
Well, good morning, Anthony, and pitch leader Dakota, but I'm sure he's gone by now. But we've been talking about seeding grass and living in HOA-type or condos or townhouses, and the advantages when it comes to doing things like grass seeding and plowing and all that, and that led to the antenna restrictions. So that's kind of how we got where we're at there, Anthony. I'll say this, though, Donald, I'd still be putting it up. I'd rather put it up and find out if somebody's going to say something. If they do, go, oh, okay, you know, it's a bucket. You know, I don't leave it out there permanently. I just take it out when I'm using it and put it back. You know, so, I mean, I wouldn't do that at first, but that's what I'd do if anybody called me. Our chances are nobody will ever say nothing. What are they going to do, kick you out? Yeah, it's like, I'll just tell you, you can't do that. It's always better to get forgiveness than ask for permission. That's my philosophy, right, Anthony?
Absolutely. Talking about grass seeding makes me think of spring, which is coming, which means grass seed and mulch and all that fun stuff to get ready for summer. But I'm not ready for it. I just had a great week of skiing in the mountains, 40 inches of fresh powder while we were out there, and I want a couple more weekends of skiing, so let's not rush it. Over to you, Donald.
Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but it's going to be 47, 48 degrees today, so you came back with some decent weather. And we should be down in the mid-20s and a little bit of snow by Saturday. But welcome to a little bit of taste of spring today, for sure. And, yeah, enjoy while it's here. We're going to enjoy it while it's here. I know you're hurt because you had all that snow. Where'd you go skiing real quick and then bounce it back to Sean?
I was in Denver, just outside of Denver. We skied at Loveland Ski Area. It saddles the Eisenhower Johnson Tunnel, the ski resort does. It's pretty awesome. We had a great week of skiing. Over to you, Sean.
Yep, something I've never done. So I don't know why. I'm a little afraid of it. I'm not good with that stuff. It's like I think it's a little bit of the fear of height. I know you're not really, it's not really the same thing, but it is kind of. Never been, and never really had a desire to go try. It looks great. I mean, it really does. Just something I've never done. And, I think we got some time, because, I mean, you're not going to get out there and seed when the grass is completely covered in snow, right? So we got to at least wait for that to melt. So we might get some progress toward that today and tomorrow. You know, it's going to be in the 40s, but I don't know. It's going to take a bit to melt all the snow before we can start worrying about any of that other crap. Let's see. How's Starbucks this morning? Not horrible. So let's see. I think Anthony, you actually get it. This is your actual turn.
Hey, guys, I can't take a call. Jump over my turn.
Starbucks. I did that yesterday morning. Bought two ventis, poured them into my thermos thingamajiggy that holds 20. It holds 24 ounces, and I had like 16 ounces left. Drank that with my morning breakfast sandwich, and then for the next 6-7 hours, I had a nice coffee from Starbucks that lasted me all day yesterday morning. That was nice to do. KEDUW.
Sorry there, I was at the window ordering. So somebody broke in there right after Donald. TEW, did I hear? I'm not sure. Go ahead. And then pass it to Anthony.
KEACUW, thanks for having me. I just wanted to ask a real quick coax question really quick. I have, by my figuring from trigonometry, a 60-foot tree, a 66-foot pine tree in my backyard. It'd be about 100 feet to get down the tree and into the basement where the equipment would be safe. Do I need the expensive coax that's like $250 a foot, or is the 50 cent a foot stuff okay?
Anthony, are you back, or you want me to take it, or what?
Sean, this is a question for you, sir. I am back, but I'll pick it up on the go-around.
All right, 100-foot run. What frequency? That's the important factor there. You're running HF, then it don't really matter. Just get, you know, RG8 or better, you'll be fine. If you're talking VHF, UHF, particularly with an emphasis on UHF, then you might want to consider a little bit better stuff. I don't think you necessarily at 100-foot need to go, you know, anything significant, but LMR 400 might be a good move if you're going to do HF. I'm at the window. I'll let you guys hash it out as I pay. I'll be right back.
All right, Sean has spoken. I will budget for the LMR 400 because I want to do a GMRS repeater so the family can use it, but I also want to use it for other stuff.
Donald, you still out there?
Yeah, I'm here somewhere. I don't know where, but yeah, I'm still here. I'm still contemplating about the gentleman's question about coax, and I didn't catch his whole call sign either, so I'm sorry about that. Personal here is on. Caller, go back and come on back. Give it to you. Hey, Don. Hey, Sean. Yeah, this is Benjamin. My call sign is Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey. And, I mean, I really wish it wasn't so expensive, but I'd rather put up a good antenna once and do everything I want with it instead of, you know, messing around. A few dollars could say, or a few nickels could save me a couple dollars, you know?
Yeah, hey, Ben, it's Sean again. I was getting my coffee from the window, and I had to kind of tune out here, but did you answer? Is it for VHF, UHF, or HF, or what?
Yeah, we're talking about UHF at the top end because I want to be able to do GMRS with the family, but then also experiment with it on other things. I'll probably put up a tri-band antenna and then plug whatever I got into it.
All right. Well, don't get me wrong. 100 foot even of a decent RG8, like a – well, I'd go LMR 400 in that case at a minimum. That's probably your bet being UHF. You know, now if you had something available, you know, cheaper, man, you could run it. You're going to have loss, and that works on both ways, on receive and, you know, that'll kill your receive sensitivity by 3 dB, you know, or let's say the 3 dB loss per 100 at 400, then, you know, you'll have, and half your power. If you got a nice, if you've got a perfect match and you got 100 watts going out on the antenna, 50 will actually reach the peak point of the antenna. You know, but then your antenna's got, you know, 5-6 dB of gain, you know, so it, you know, it doubles and doubles again. If it's, let's say it's a 6 dB antenna, and you got a, well, I don't know if you have 100, but let's say you have a mobile radio and it's putting out, let's say, 35 watts. Let's make it round. Let's make it 40. Well, 20 of that will get to the antenna with the loss. You know, but then your antenna's going to double it, and then double it again if it's a 60D antenna. So that's, you know, it'll be like putting out 80, radiating 80 watts of power. So you'll be okay. Your receive will be cut by 3 dB as well, you know, but, you know, if you're doing weak signal work, that's, you know, that's pretty bad. But, you know, could you get away with it? You could. But I'd go with the, like I said, the better stuff if you're going UHF, and, you know, then you're sure you're getting as much as you need to the antenna. You're still going to have loss. You know, LMR 400 at UHF still has a, you know, what, a half a dB, a dB at 100, maybe probably about a dB and change. I don't even know. And, you know, it could be more than that. We deal in hard lines when we start to get to those lengths at those frequencies. So, you know, probably more than a dB. It's probably 2 to 3, you know, but, you know, that is what it is, you know. So you get loss is a part of, is a fact of life when it comes to that stuff. Anyhow, babbling here, get the best antenna you can, the best coax you can afford if you're going to be running UHF at 100 foot without, you know, without going crazy. You can live with some loss. Anthony?
Talking a little bit out of my wheelhouse. If I was trying to figure that out, I'd probably be asking you also, Sean. So I'll send it over to Benjamin again, and he can give his response.
All right, I got to jump out. Really busy with the family, but thank you very much for having me, guys. I'll talk to you soon. KE8ZUW.
All right, Ben, come again. We'll see you. And I just pulled up to the shop, so I got to get out of Dodge. Donald?
Okay, well, get out of Dodge, and, you know, if you want, Epstein's mom will get a note to your boss and say, Sean can't come in today, he's sick, and, you know, if you remember who Epstein's mom is from the TV show Welcome Back, Cotter, we're always writing notes for the other students to get out of class that day and skip Cotter's class. So I can still write those notes. I'm old enough to do that. So, all right, you have a good day. Ben, good hearing from you. Anthony, same thing with you. Everybody have a great day, and... me, I don't even have a chiropractor appointment because the guy took it on Thursday last week, so I won't see him for another week. Everybody do take care. W8RCY.
Have a good one, Donald. Hey, Donald, if you got 1 second, I got a question for you.
Well, like I said, I've got nothing to do today, and my bedtime is usually around 9:30, so you got all that time to ask. Shoot.
I know you're usually paying attention to the news in the morning for us for weather and everything. What are you hearing about this 696 construction project? I've, from the best I can figure out, it's going to be closed to DeQuinder. Does that mean that we won't be able to get on the expressway at 75 to 696 East? Have you seen anything about that?
From what I understand, it's this. It's the eastbound side of 696 from I-75 west to, I think, US 20. And it's just the east side only. It's going to be closed for 2 years because they're going to completely demolish it like they did 696 in Macomb County. But they did it in what? Under 2 years, and they did the entire freeway, both east and westbound sides. But this is a huge mass undertaking, and they're only closing one side at a time for emergency vehicle access. And because if they close both sides, especially when you go through the cement pit area before and after Greenfield, Southfield, and those tunnels and all everything else, there's not that many entrance and exit ramps, so they have to do one side at a time from what I understand. So they're going to cut breaks in the wall or something in the center median to allow vehicle access to get through there. And that's pretty much I know, and it's supposed to start over the weekend of March the 1st, so this coming weekend is when it's going to happen. But again, it's only on the eastbound side, and they'll probably eventually do the westbound side.
All right, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out if next week I'm going to be able to get on 696 from 75 going eastbound, how that's going to change my ride home every day. So I was just curious, because if they close 696 east, just east of 75, it's going to cause some chaos. I'm going to have to find some routes home.
Well, when they did the 696 freeway from 94, they didn't go past DeQuinder. And I know it's probably maybe 2 miles between 75 and DeQuinder exit. So I don't know about that gap. I've not really heard anything. I've heard some people say it's going to DeQuinder. I've heard some people say it just stops at 75. But why wouldn't they do that little stretch? I don't know. Maybe they are, and it just hasn't been talked about. So I can't give you an answer on something I don't know for sure. But I understand what you're saying. And I haven't really... They're supposed to talk about alternate routes, the main lines being 8 mile and 12 mile for east-west traffic as an alternate route. But other than that, I really don't know much of anything else that I can comment on with some form of accuracy.
Understood. Thanks for the information. If you, in your news viewing, catch anything about it, let me know. I'd appreciate it because it could cause havoc in my life if I have to, if I can't get on 696. Because to your point, 12 mile, 8 mile are going to be the main thoroughfares that are going to get east-west traffic, and those are just going to get packed. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know. 2 years is a long time, like you said. We'll see. Hopefully they finish it quicker than that. But I'll let you go. Thanks for the information. KE8RUH. Thanks, Donald. Have a good day.
I believe you can also check the MDOT website. They might even have some updates on it. I don't use MDOT like I used to. During the 696 East Side construction, when that was tackled, it was completely shut down. But I used MDOT a lot, and you might want to check that either at home or at work and see, because they're the ones that are going to post the most updates. WRCY 565, clear. Have a great day.
WRCY, KFHCWR.
I'm sorry, sir. I have no traffic reports for you. But what else is new?
Well, according to MDOT or the Michigan webpage, they say 696 between I-75 and DeQuinder is supposed to take place in 2027.
Wow. So they're going to tear up, what, 2 mile, 2.5 mile stretch in 2027 just to fill in that gap? Oh, it sounds like somebody dropped the ball on the planning of that one. They should have just taken it from 94 to 75, do that part, and, you know, but they stopped at Macomb County because that's where the DeQuinder being the border between Oakland and Macomb. But that just, you know, that just is ridiculous. But then again, that's how contractors are, too. You know, you got... Ajax, and then what's the big company on Hall Road? I can't think of it, but yeah, those are the two big cement contractors, and Ajax, and okay, I can't think of the other one. But you know where I understand, you understand where I'm coming from with that. But yeah, not to do it the right way the first time and not screw up the freeway for, you know, this is 25, yeah, 26, 20, yeah, 27, yeah, that'll be right after they do the other side. They're going to come back and do that little gap. That's just dumb, in my opinion.
Well, that's where they're putting the crossover now, so God only knows how those engineers think. But, yeah, I just thought I'd let you know because I started doing research on it when they started closing it down to figure out on my bowling night how I'm getting home. It looked like they were going to shut it off at Mound Road, but they might let you go up to 11 Mile Road now, but you know, they're trying to make life easier.
Well, I appreciate the information on the 2027 thing, and I don't know if Ben's still listening or not, but, yeah, to do that little 2 or 3 mile stretch between 75 and DeQuinder by itself, and that's, like I said, two, three years down the road, is just ridiculous. I'll have to go back on the MDOT site this afternoon, because I really haven't looked at MDOT much since they did, you know, 676 on our side of town, and, yeah, I'll have to look into that, but if I hear Ben this afternoon or if he's listening, I'll make sure he gets that information a little more accurately and tell him about what's going on in 2027. Other than that, though, anything else new to report on your side of the world?
Nothing yet, just waiting on the CT results. We got a CT scan yesterday. For lung screening for cancer and the abdomen for the other issue. They're trying to figure out why it happened, so that maybe we can prevent it from happening again. Or at least that's what they're telling me.
Okay. Well, I'll prepare for your results and see how, you know, how that plays out. Too many people with the letter C issues right now, and I heard from one the other day, and it was just good to hear from him, but he's in the hospital, and I didn't know he went back in, and so on and so forth there, but, yeah, even though I'm not doing anything today, I got to get up and get doing to something here, but I got to finish my Starbucks first, and, yeah, just take it easy on this end. All right, well, good hearing from you. Have a great day. Have a great week. Get a chance to stick your head outside and enjoy the weather this afternoon, and we'll catch up with you later. W8RCY, we're clear.
Yeah, after work I'll probably put her around the garage and clean up the little messes that I made working on the snowblower and that, but I'll enjoy this warmer weather for a minute or two. Anyways, enjoy, have a good time. Hopefully this week is nice and relaxing. KF8CWL, I'll be clear.
Good morning, 0800 hours. Cloudy, 36 degrees.
W8DAP.
KE8TFM. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Are you off to Novi?
Yeah, I got to go pick up some parts in Livonia, then I got to go to Southfield for some meetings, and then back home. So a little bit of driving today. Yeah. But what were you up to? Were you up north this weekend?
Yeah, I went out Saturday and Sunday, snowmobiling up there. Yeah, good time. It'll be a big warm-up this week, though, so we'll see. Hopefully it'll get cold and snow a little bit more. I can go another time or two.
Yeah, it looks like we got a open weekend this weekend, no hockey or anything, so I think me and the boys are going to head up either Saturday morning or Friday evening. At least that's the plan now. Could change by the end of the week, who knows.
Yeah, I don't know if you're monitoring the node last night, but ran into a guy and his daughter run a snowmobile, and they broke down in the trails and ended up, had a tow strap with me. I always keep a tow strap in my sled, and I towed him all the way back to St. Helens. He lives like right on Lake St. Helens. I towed him like three or four miles. And that was weird.
That's cool. So everything went smooth. Usually no good deed goes unpunished.
Well, one of his drive sprockets was, like, broken. So the track wasn't turning freely, so it was really hard to pull. And I could smell my belt overheating. It was like 34 degrees out, and my temperature gauge is almost in the over temp. And especially I had to haul him up a couple of pretty decent hills. But it was okay. We got to the guy's house, and he offered me $50, you know. I'm like, nah, don't worry about it, you know, it's just whatever. You know, I told him, this is free, but next time I'll charge you. So, I guess I made a new friend up there on the lake.
Is his name Jack?
No, his name is Joe. Probably, I would say, in his 40s, married. He has at least one kid. Bought his place in 2020. That's when he bought the snowmobile used. It's just really weird. I mean, a snowmobile isn't that old. There isn't that many miles on. I never heard of the drive sprocket breaking. It's almost like a rocker or something got in there, and it just, I don't know, messed up that sprocket. I've never seen that happen before.
Well, I don't mean to hijack the conversation, but I just thought I'd say good morning. WARCY, we'll be listening.
Good morning, Donald. I didn't hijack anything.
I just heard you say you made a new friend, and I just thought, you know, with the amount of friends that other person has, I thought his name just had to be that name, and throw it out there.
Funny, I thought you were Davian. I thought Davian said that.
Well, I didn't mean to, you know, use that other person's name in vain, but I did, and so that's why I apologize for hijacking the conversation. And Davian, if he's out there, good morning to him as well. W8RCY 565 is the other call sign. Good morning.
What happened to Davian? Maybe he got a phone call or something. But yeah, it was a fun time. Plenty of snow up there. And like I said, hopefully it'll, you know, after this big warm-up, there'll be some more cold weather and a little more snow up there so I can go up there a couple more times. But, I think I'm probably going to need a new drive belt for my sled because that was, it was really hard towing them. I definitely took some millimeters off my belt for sure.
Well, yeah, there's still more snow coming for people towards the upper part of the state. Watching the weather this morning, yeah, it'll be nice today and tomorrow, and then we're going to get a few more, you know, temperatures are dropping down in the 20s here with the scattered snow going into the weekend, but points north, probably towards the upper half, probably higher than, you know, Bay City on up or even, I don't know what else is up there, but maybe Gaylord and up towards the bridge, I think they're going to be getting some more snow from what they're showing on the snow bands and stuff that's heading this way. So we'll be all right here. We'll get a little bit of snow, but it points north, and the further north you go, it'll probably get worse.
W8DAP. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. Little to no snow down here, and a few more inches up there. So, I mean, the snow will be the snow is going to stay in the woods for a while. But getting out to the trails, though, I have to go about a mile through the neighborhood and down a road. You know, if there's no snow on that, I won't be able to make it out to the trails. So, anywho, well, I've already went
four or five times this year, so that ain't bad. That's more than I usually go. Getting my money's worth out of my trail pass, I guess.
Would you still have good weather for a side-by-side?
Yeah, I generally don't like going out on the trails and the side-by-side in the wintertime. There's snow on the trails, I don't want to dig ruts. There's no snow, and it's not all muddy, then yeah, sure. But if it's muddy out or if there's still snow on the trails, people do, but they shouldn't. It digs up the trails.
Does Razor or Polaris or any of these companies make a single seater? I thought they did at one time. Or was it Honda that made a single seater? I don't remember. I just remember seeing a single seater at one time that kind of caught my eye. Those things still around?
If you're talking about a single seat, like a quad runner that you sit on, like the old school one, and yes, Polaris does make a single seater that has a steering wheel and you sit in it. It has like a regular car seat in it with a back. It's just like a side by side with only one seat. So yeah, there's both kinds of single seaters.
Yeah, it was a side by side with just a single seat in the middle, and I guess they were using them in competition for racing. In dirt and sand and things like that. They get like motocrosses, but with quad runners, and not the quad runner, but like the side-by-sides, the Razor side-by-sides. And I remember seeing those, and those kind of caught my eye. And I don't even remember how long ago that was, but just wondering if they're still around. Heck, I'm so old, I remember the old Honda ATC-90s with just three wheels on them instead of four, and then they outlawed them because of safety. That's how far my ATV history goes.
Yeah, they had those in the late 70s, early 80s. My buddy had one, and then he got a 250 model, which is like a 250 motocross engine one. That one was really cool. But yeah, like you said, they're really weird when it comes to stability because, the difference between, taking a turn and then flipping is there's no like warning. It's like if you're taking a turn, and it's like you're at a certain G in a turn, if you just go 1% more, it just flips right over. Where a two wheel, you can lean to make it more stable, or in a four wheeler, you get four wheels, but on a three wheeler, it's like everything's fine, you're in a turn, and all of a sudden you turn a little bit sharper, and it flips right over. Seen it happen. Not too much on the 90s, because they were so slow, they had big balloon tires. Anyhow, I'm at work, so I will talk to you later. Dave, if you're still out there, have a good one. WADAP.
As always, it's a pleasure talking to you as well, and Davian, if you're on the phone, and listening in the background, if I cut into the conversation and you get a chance to get back, I apologize. And you, sir, as well, have a great day. W8RCY, we are out of here.
And I said, KF listening.
Good morning, 0900 hours, cloudy, 40 degrees.
WFSM Mobile, Grambling. 4.
Grand.
I know, right? Oh, too early.
Grand blank. Doesn't that mean big white? Big white what?
I think it means big white. Oh, hold on, my phone's ringing. WFSM.
Yeah, don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to.
Grand blank, that's not far.
ABLS.
WAFU.
Yeah. Everybody ready for some snow melt today?
Gonna need it so I can get grass seed down. We were just talking about that. Probably a little early for that, though.
NAKPP.
Good morning.
What up, KZAKJO?
Well, I was headed to the office, and then they called me and said, hey, I have this SLA, which is basically a four-hour service responding to an Ann Arbor location because their NVR went on them.
That's supposed to be your area of expertise. I'm heading from my house to my office, so I'm only going to be here a couple, 3 minutes, just as a preamble. So, good for my call-out. Things have been busy at work. So, we have become a big company, and I don't like it.
Well, being one of the partners, it would be beneficial.
Financially, maybe. For my psyche, that's a definite no. I liked it when it was small.
But after a couple of years, you could become a baller.
Since keeps up, dude, it ain't going to be a couple of years. I'm going to sell out or get a buyout or something. Unbelievable. It's amazing. Just like, all of a sudden, the whole world turned. I mean, we had so many employees, and then it just went cuckoo.
I mean, you're doing something right. That's how I see it.
Yeah, maybe. We shall see. So, other than that, not much. Tried to put a bigger hard drive in my, actually, they're not called hard drives anymore. They're little bitty memory-looking chips. Even that didn't go well, so I'm going to have to figure that all out, too. So that's going to be part of my projects today as well. Then I lost my VPN to work, and I don't know where the key went. So I'm going to call the IT guy and ask him for a key and a password because I've lost it.
Oh, you got to use an RSID with a little key fob that hangs on your keychain.
Yeah, but they let us copy it. That's kind of nice. So, you know, I mean, that part of it's good. You can actually copy and put it in the computer and leave it in there permanently. So they're not too mean-spirited about that. So, all right, I got to go because all of these new headaches are here, and I see all their cars at the work parking lot. So, Mr. Tom, I'll talk to you a little bit later, and I got to talk to you about the A's because I got ordered out of town that day. So it's going to be you, and then there's another gentleman that is a ham that is also has joined ARPS, and he lives in New Baltimore. So we need to chat about that. So I got to talk to you later. NHKBB.
Sounds like a plan, man. Have a good day at work. 73KKKJO.
Good morning, 1000 hours. Partly sunny. 43 degrees.
Alright, so yeah, that's not mobile, Orkville.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Mostly sunny. 47 degrees.
W8FU. Jeez, it's like you got no friends anymore. KZ8. What's going on, John?
Just heading out to pick up my lunch. I decided to get one of them good omelets from the pantry. The brick cheese and the big puffed up baked omelet.
Ooh. I've never been there. Is it one of those ones where you get it and you look at it and you're like, oh, I could have totally split this with somebody, and then you finish the whole thing and say back to yourself, yeah, never mind. I get it.
Yeah, they're pretty doable. Yeah, they're doable, though. But, you know, they got a lot of, you know, there's something just a notch, a little bit stuff. There's a pan, there's two or three pantries around. They're pretty good. You know, the omelets are puffed up, I think they really come in. They use this really good brick cheese. You think a bit much, sensory overload, you know, for some. But every now and again I want one. And the potatoes are real good and all that stuff. So it's not overdone. Certainly enough, that's for sure. What are you out and about doing?
I am not out and about, I'm in and about. I'm schooling myself on the iPhone camera. Photography is one of my other hobbies. I've done it, man, I had a dark room in the house when I lived with my parents, you know, in high school. So I've been at that quite a while, and we're going to be going on vacation in May, and I'm thinking of leaving my real camera at home, which gets me a little twitchy. So I'm really schooling myself on the new iPhone camera, and I think it'll work for, you know, taking vacation photos. Plus, I don't have the downside of lugging a camera around, so that would be nice. Hey, by the way, you sound like you're breaking up a bit. I don't know where you are or what repeater you're on, but it sounds like you're a little ways out.
Yeah, I'm behind a building, going into the warren. I didn't switch over to the better here. Well, it's a decision. I know the iPhone will take wonderful pictures, and it's more than adequate. But, you know, if you're a photo guy, you know, that can be a little challenging. I'm surprised you haven't made it to a digital. The digital cameras, you know, they give you all the experience and then some of a film camera. I get it. You know, there's a certain thing about, you know, it's like phonographs, actual analog film and all that stuff. There's a whole thing, but you know, honestly, some of the great photographers right now are working purely in digital. I think all, you know, most of the great you know, guys that are working in the business right now are analog, turning to a digital. You know, the artsy guys, you know, probably, you know, some are sticking with the analog, but I get it. My father was a professional photographer, and you know, it never really rubbed off on me. I think because I grew up in it, and I was you know, around it, you would think that could go either way. You could either really get into it or just not want anything to do with it. I mean, either I just kind of like never really thought much of it and never really went down that pipe. I love them, you know, cameras. I keep thinking about getting a, but I never think to use it. So, I don't know. But, hey, I just pulled here. Are you going to be around here for a few when I get back out?
I should be here. Give me a shout. By the way, I did go digital years ago, so I didn't mean to misunderstand. You probably heard darkroom, but that was years ago. That was, I don't know, 45 years ago or something. No, I went digital. I can't remember how long ago. It's been
many years. I've got a Sony A9 camera now that's a sweet mirrorless camera. So go get your food. I'll talk to you later for WAF, UKVAT.
Okay, then, yeah, so you'd be deciding to go from your professional-grade, setup to the iPhone. I think you'll be fine. I could see where that would make you a little twitchy, though. Can you really get the shot you want, the iPhone? I've seen some impressive stuff. It ain't going to match your digital setup, right? All right, let me go in there and grab that. I just called you a few times the other day. Is it Sunday, Saturday, or in your neck of the woods? I was trying to see if I could drum you up for a trip to La Puma's, but I couldn't raise you. All right, anyhow, back with you. WAS.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Mostly cloudy. 47 degrees.
KZ8Z from WAFU.
Oh man, you mentioned Limpumas. I'm bummed I missed your call. I love hot dogs. And I've just been sitting here going, oh, because I got some hot dogs in the fridge. I'm like, guess what's for dinner, guess what's for lunch now? Man, you got me in the mood, and now I'm sitting here because I was waiting for your call. I'm like, well, I can't not be here now when Sean calls back. But I got hot dogs on the mind, so, and I have some hot dog chili in there, too.
Yeah, that place I went to, they're good, but boy, they ain't fast. Good grief. And, but I did meet a Navy vet. We talked a little bit. And, so, got to let him tell me about his service. Anywho, yeah, so I was out your way. I think it was Saturday. And, I had a bunch of stuff. I wanted to go to Total Wine, and I wanted to go to, Grand Bazo's, and I had a couple of other stops that were all conveniently right up in that little stretch, and La Puma's has been on my bucket list for some time, ever since I saw a review saying that they were one of the 10 Coney places to go to in Michigan. So I went there, and it was like out the door, people standing, and I couldn't find a parking place anywhere, and I circled a couple of times, and I debated actually leaving and saying, I'll just come back. But I made another pass and got a parking spot, and by that time, the line wasn't out the door. It must have just been weird timing, and I was able to go right in and get a... the problem was I wasn't real hungry, and I did all I could to get down one Coney and one Chicago dog, to try the two favorites. And, that was all I could muster, and that was hard enough. And the price wasn't bad. It was $10. I had, big old Chicago dog and big old Coney dog and a Diet Pop, But I was calling you thinking, maybe on chance I'd catch you. You'd be willing to drop down for a Coney.
Oh, I totally would have come with you. That place is great. I love the guys that work there. Most of them have worked there for years and years and years. And it's funny, you almost feel like you're in the soup Nazi kitchen when you're ordering. They usually give you some grief, too, which is fun. By the way, pro tip, if you order if you want fries from there, just a small fry, I don't even know if they have sizes, but they just basically take the scoop and dump it on your tray. It's fantastic. And you got the order that I always get when I go there, and then I always debate in my mind, like, okay, which one should I eat first? But I get the Chicago dog with, I have to hold off on the sport peppers because they're too spicy for me, and they give me grief about that. Tell me they're going to put extras on there and whatnot. Parking there is a nightmare. There's like four spots out and back, and then you got to try and get out of there, back out onto Rochester Road. You're almost better parking, I don't know, across the street or something. But if you're back in the neighborhood, I'm definitely in. My son, when he goes there, he gets the same order, but he adds on one of their, I think it's a burrito, which seems odd in that place, but it's pretty good the way they make it. It's different. I'm always up for food if you're around here. Have you, it's probably a dangerous subject, have you food and drink? I'll bet you that's quite high for you, mister.
Wow, that was kind of funny because you said, have you ever, and then it went, bah, 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 and then I heard food and drink. So I have no idea what the context of that was.
I was saying, have you ever added up your monthly expenditures on food and drink? That's got to be, it's probably something you don't even want to add up.
Well, I put all of it on my American
with religiously.
And now I put other things on that as well, so it's not all. But I know the line, I know what I spend on that, and I can pretty much, you know, rule out the groceries and other stuff I put on there pretty quickly and probably come to a conclusion. But quite a bit. You know, it's just Andrea and I, and she don't eat nothing. She eats, like, about three things, and, you know, I just got to keep bread, peanut butter, and jelly in the house, and it's like, you know, it's very difficult. But I mean, there are some things. I'm kidding. But, you know, I eat out probably about twice as often as her, and a lot. But I'll tell you what, I don't spend hardly squat in groceries, right? So between eating out and leftovers, you know, I'm usually either eating out or eating something that I, you know, cleaning up leftovers, and I can live with it. So, I mean, not always. Usually when I do something, I go pretty simple, and I think like last night, I just opened up a can of stew, you know, whatever that, Denny Moore, you know, can of stew, and I did that with I like to do that with a toasted bagel. I spice it up a little bit with my own. You know what's really good is that I am going down some rabbit holes here, all right? I get that from Einstein, to get that everything bagel topping, and I put that in a lot of things, and I sprinkle that in my Denny Moore stew, and it next levels it, but I digress. Right?
Go ahead, break.
WAGIO, Rochester Bend. Did I hear that Hippo Dog is open again?
God,
I wish, but no.
No, we were talking about La Puma hot dogs in downtown Rochester.
Roger, roger. Okay, yeah, so Tony La Puma and I are both on the DDA together. I'm the chairman, he's the vice chair, so I see Tony a lot. But I just caught the tail end of the conversation, and I was like, oh, man, don't tell me Hippo Dog's open again. I was kind of, it's blasphemy to tell Tony about that, but yeah, no, good stuff. But yeah, that one hurt, because it's by my office.
Yeah, Hippo Dog's was really good, if you're talking about the one kind of in South Troy. Maybe it was like 15 Mile in Livernois or over that area. Yeah, I used to go there a lot with work. Yeah, I love La Puma, and Tony's a great guy, obviously. He's keeping that La Puma shack the way it should be. I love it. So thanks for breaking in there. And Sean, I didn't know about the everything seasoning. That's a great food hack. I might have to get a bottle of that stuff. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, we doubled a couple of times there, so I'm here with my lunch, I'm gonna get to it. But yeah, I wish Hippo's was back. Hippo's was next level on the Chicago Dogs. But anyhow, that everything bagel seasoning. I think there's a few ways to get it, but I just get the Einstein brand, and I add it to a lot of things. Like sometimes I'll just make diced potatoes in a skillet, and you know, I'll throw in. You know, I'll season them up with that, and boy, it really adds something to them, makes them next level. So, all right, hey Ben, catch ya. Dave will talk to you. I'm going to get inside with my omelet and enjoy. W8FU.
Yeah, good deal. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in, but when you were talking about the hot, I just heard Rochester Road, and you were talking about the Chicago Dogs. It didn't occur to me about downtown Rochester. I automatically gravitated towards Hippo Dog because that was on Rochester Road and Maple there. So, you know what Rochester, like old Rochester, Royal Oak, Rochester Road. So, anywho. But, yeah, I was at Tubby's getting a sub and some fries. Like, oh, man, I should have got some conies. But, anywho, I'm going to roll into the office here as well. I will catch you guys later. W8GIO listening out.
Sounds cool, Ben. See ya. And, Sean, I'll see ya. I'm heading to some hot dogs. 73 guys, KZAT.
All right, see everybody back in the office on the Cisco, and I'm going to get to my omelet. W8FU.
Hey,
W8RJD Mobile. W8RJD Mobile.
Every time I hear your call, I think Ronnie James Dio. W8FU.
Hey, Sean, I heard you tried out Lip Pumas over the weekend. I think it seems to be the talk of the town.
Yeah, it was on my bucket list. It was one of them places that had gotten a lot of press recently. You know how you get the stupid tags that they follow you online. Cookies, you know, they figure out what you looked at, and I must have been following that whole American Lafayette thing, because I'm a Lafayette fanatic. Still, to me, nothing beats Lafayette downtown, rat poop and all. But there was, you know, now they're popping up a lot, you know, and I said, you know, 10 best, you know, and all this, and Lupuma's kept coming up in a lot of these conversations. I'm like, why have I never been here, you know? So anyhow, finally got it off my bucket list.
Yeah, Tony's always been good to us. He's a pretty good community partner and stuff. So, and it, you know, they're kind of an institution. I got to tell you, though, like, if you go there during the spring or the fall, that place usually has a line out the door and up the sidewalk, you know, maybe about 25, 30 feet down the sidewalk. So they do really good business. It's kind of like your classic place. I heard you talking about hippos earlier too. My office was right on Maple and Rochester. I was just a little past Rochester to the west on Maple, and my wife and I used to go to hippos all the time.
Oh yeah, they really did it right. I thought they did a darn good Chicago dog, and their Italian beefs were really good. I was really sad to see that one close up, and I was shocked that they couldn't make a go, maybe just move, you know, maybe the area was just not supporting it anymore, but you would certainly think something like that could survive, you know, moving. Of course, the cost of everything, and I don't know if they were a COVID casualty or what. They've been gone for a while now, but yeah, that one kind of upset me. Of course, we have not Uno's. Uno's came and went. I think you could get Chicago beef, or you could certainly get the Chicago pizza, but I think they're gone from the area. And now we've got, Portillo's. Now we got the Portillo's here on Hall Road over here in this side of town, which you can get the Chicago dogs and the Italian beef. And they're okay, you know. They're a pretty good Chicago dog. But I'm seeing more and more of them, so it's not like you really – it's not that freaky a thing. I just hate when they get them wrong, because there's very specific things you have to. A Chicago dog is a specific hot dog, a specific bun. You know, it's a specific relish. Everything about the Chicago dog has to be right. And on the Detroit Coney as well. You know, I mean, let's be honest. There's right and there's wrong. He had them both right, so I got to say that. You know.
Yeah. I just switched over to the West Bloomfield, because I'm getting closer to Pontiac now. Hopefully I'm making the trip okay. Yeah, my son really likes that Portillo's. We go there quite a bit because their great aunt, lives right there behind that Lakeside Mall. So that Portillo's is one of his favorite places to go when we go over there. I told him, though, you know, I was like, you really haven't had a good one until you had hippos, but they're gone. But I told him maybe we'll get a real Chicago dog in Chicago. It's kind of like going to Philly. I realized when I went to Philly and I had the Pats and Geno's, which, by the way, are right across the street from each other, which is really odd. But then again, we've got Lafayette and American, so I guess I really shouldn't have no room to talk. But I realized that when I had Pat's and Geno's, I never really had a cheesesteak because it's a very specific meat, very specific cheese, bun, everything.
Oh, yeah, and that's important, you know. I mean, if you're trying to recreate something, Yeah, I'm not a fan of cheesesteak, but a lot of people have told me. They said, well, you got to get one in Philly. You know, you got to get the real deal. And then it's just a quest to find the real deal, you know, which, you know, is not so easy. But speaking of Philly, I don't think it was Andrew Bourdain, but one of these places, it might have been, was looking for America's Greatest Sandwich. And I remember this was a series on, oh, it's got to be 10 years now, and maybe less, but it could be 10. And one of them that landed within the top, if it wasn't two, it was three, was the Superbird from our very own, what's the name of the barbecue? Oh, God darn it. Anyhow, the famous Slow's Barbecue had this thing called the Superbird, which got like number two or number three on a guy's list. But the number one sandwich on this show's list was this pork and some sort of, it wasn't broccoli, it wasn't spinach, it was like some sort of leafy green kind of stuff, and it was a pork on a hoagie and cheese, and it was like, oh, the thing looks so good, and it was like number one sandwich in America. You can only get this stupid thing at this one specific place in Philly, and it's like, I want to go so bad, and I just haven't had any need to go to Philly since then. It's like, argh.
I remember that. I can't remember what the show was, though. I don't think it was Diners and Dives. I don't think it was that one. I don't think it was, was it the Guy Fieri one? I don't think so. But I remember that, and I remember that sandwich at the Philly place, too. That came out after we had been to Philly and tried did the Pat and Geno's thing, and like you, haven't had a chance to get out there since. But I definitely remember that special. I want to say it was on the Food Network.
Adam Reichman's Best Sandwich in America. I don't know if that's it. I'm looking at something here, trying to see. I'm trying to think what he. Pittsburgh juicy roast pork sandwich topped with sharp provolone and sauteed broccoli rabe. That's it. Drenched in pork gravy from Tommy Bitnick's at the Reading Terminal Market in Philadelphia, and a pastrami. Oh, that's it. So it was Adam Reichman's Greatest Sandwich in America.
All right, now I'm hungry. Where should I go get food?
Well, where are you at?
We're talking about
let's see, 24 and 69.
Well, Fred, we're talking about Portillo's, so you could get some brownie points with the wife.
I don't know if I could get to Portillo's and then back to a terminal by 2 o'clock for my meeting with the golf vendor. The golf POS vendor, I got at 2 o'clock. So 30, almost 10, 5 to 1. You know, there's a Sonic drive-thru. That Limeade was actually really good.
Yeah, we used to go there and spend Sonic just for that. I remember when that Sonic opened on Grosbeck 2 years ago. Had lines all the way up the street just for that.
Yeah, Ryan, that, I don't know, I used to get on here all the time. I don't know if you heard it even, but you know, I was always, you know, trying to get my diet Limeade. And they'd always screw it up and they'd give me the diet cherry Limeade. And I'll drink either one, but you know, got to the point where I was getting angry because I don't want the cherry. And they just always give me the cherry. But, you know, when they got that happy hour from 2 to 4, and you can get it half off, and you get that great big Route 44, and it's diet, so I can drink it, right? And it's like, that's like a, I don't know if I'd call it a comfort food, but it's a thing that, I don't do it too much in the cold weather in the winter, but in the summer, yeah, you can catch me doing that a lot. So we kind of it's kind of become a little bit of a thing. You may or may not have heard us gabbing about it.
Yeah, there was a while there where I wasn't getting on too much because I had a lot going on. We just, I guess now I've got a lot more time on my hands. Well, kind of, because I'm not working for the court anymore. I'm back out in private practice. My judge had the
age out retirement, turned 70, I kind of retired. So I left the county and went back to work with my wife. So now I'm in the car a lot more because I'm doing a lot more driving for my private practice. I'm going to court right now. I'm heading to the Pontiac Courthouse.
Yeah, we'll have to catch up because, I don't think I've really caught up since the whole November, crap and everything like that. And it was all kind of quiet through the holidays. So, Fred, what's it going to be, man? Is it going to be Sonic? Is that going to be it? You ain't going to get down here, that's for sure. Not in the time frame you got.
As a matter, I can go to Halo. So I got to head home, or head back towards the house. I could stop at Halo there at Belfie Road and 69. So I might do that. Go for a Coney or a Olive Burger.
Halo's one of those Flint traditions.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard or not. We're getting at least one down here. I think it's going to be over here, though, on my side of town. Gratiot. I think it's going to be in that Gratiot 23 area, but not 100% sure on that. But we are at least getting one down here.
19 or 19 or south of 19 miles. Oh, that's really close to where Melinda's aunt lives. Yeah, we could definitely head over that Halo Burger a couple times.
Well, that's even better. Yeah, I thought it was going to be up in that 23 and Gratiot cluster of businesses and restaurants and all that, but yeah, 19 and Garfield's perfect. That's a regular lunch destination for me here at work. And I was just thinking, Ryan, if you're right here back in behind Portillo's, you're literally right there as well. So yeah, put Halo's soon on the agenda. Well, that's cool. 19 and Garfield. That was real shaky, Fred. You're in and out, real noisy.
Oh yeah, I get nothing when I'm in downtown. When you get down to downtown Rochester, it's a struggle to get those buildings, especially in a valley. So I guess downtown Lapeer, yeah, they got to get some buildings down there to block your signal.
Actually, how's this? I'm on Mayville now.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I was like, I forgot about Mayville. So I clicked over Mayville, although I'm going to head south here, so I'll just be heading back towards Flint and Holly. But I thought I sent you the address. It's by a McDonald's and a chicken place. There's a chicken, something chicken around there, too. So the building. Figure everything goes okay permit-wise, should be about 3 months.
There's a Popeye's chicken there, right?
I thought it was Church's.
Oh, you know what? I think you're right, because I think I'm thinking of 19 and Hayes. I think 19 and Hayes has some Popeye's.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, that's probably
Church's.
Hours. That's true. Wait, did you say 3 months? What, are you on the planning commission or something?
No, my best friend's the COO of Halo, so I'm also on their product testing development committee. So we come up with test products and we do market testing with that, and so that's how I know that.
So you got the hookup. Well, gentlemen, I'm at the Circuit Court building, so I'm going to go in there and do some representing, see if I can either get some people out of trouble or into trouble. I'm not sure which. We'll figure it out when I get in there. But 7-3s, everybody. Looks like it's a beautiful day so far. A little windy, but not too bad. 73W8RJD. I'll be clear up. I'll be listening out.
All right, Ryan. Good hearing you. And have fun.
See ya. I left the golf course in Oxford, went up 24, stopped here at Lapeer to grab the parts I needed out of the Lapeer office, and now I'm going to go, I think I'm going to go to Halo. I don't want it. It's on like some other side of the street, so I'm coming up the hill here, so I'll get off 69, and Uncle gave me an olive burger, I think. Go home, have that, and go to my next 2 o'clock. Woohoo! Holy hell, this golf course is huge.
What do you got to do there?
Well, we bought it, so we close on it Friday morning. We're closing Friday morning. The locksmith who I met with this morning is doing all the lock rechanges at noon on Friday, and we have our first event there Saturday. So it's like, yeah, so my head, yeah. So I'm meeting with the POS vendor that we're switching to go over. I'm meeting with them at 2 to go over billing, credit card, all that stuff.
All right, very cool. Well, have fun. All right, I'm going to get out of here. I just finished my lunch, and I got to get back to work. So just heard you guys out there and wanted to say yo. I probably overdid it. So... after yours, W8. F you.
All right. W8FSM up here.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Sunny. 48 degrees. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Mostly cloudy. 49 degrees.
KZ8VSI. KZ8VSI. Greg, you got me? KZ8VSI. Are you Poda in? No Greg. KZ8VSI Mobile.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Mostly cloudy. 48 degrees.
KF80YL monitoring.
NHBBS.
You still working out there, Dakota? KF8S.
KF8S and ADDF.
KF8S.
I thought I heard you, but I was on the phone, so I figured if you were still out there, what's going on?
Not much. I heard you, and then I was on the phone. So then when I was off the phone, so what do they call that? Phone tag? Radio tag?
Little bit of radio tag. How's your antenna been?
It's been pretty good in, you know, testing it on and off. I think it's a winner-winner chicken dinner or whatever. I was able to, you know, make some contacts in, like, North Carolina QSO party, South Carolina QSO party. I think both of them had their QSO parties. And, you know, FT8 and all that fun stuff. But, yeah, everything's been going okay. The band's, like, particular great, so I haven't really tested with that.
So is that, that's a 10 to 40 end-fed half wave, right?
Yep, and the wire is in a weird, obscure way of angles and things like that, and it seems to be fine. Seems to work just as well. And I can tune it on, I can tune it all the way down to 160. I mean, the tuner helps me. I'm not sure how much power is getting out, but I was able to make a contact to Virginia on 160. So, I mean, it must be getting, either the propagation is really good or some power is getting out.
NAW. Is that a breaking station?
I'm sorry to interrupt, guys, but I was kind of, I couldn't resist overhearing the gentleman said he was talking on 160, and I was wondering, could you tell me the frequency? Do you remember the frequency on 160?
Oh, it was FT8, so digital, and like I forgot what it is. 1.8. It's not like standard. You know how some of them are like. .074. It's like 1.8 something.
1.8. That would be 160 meters. Okay, I thought you were talking about voice. Sorry, in AWGL.
Yeah, last time I talked voice on 160 was when Professor Don was still with us. Him and I would play around on 160 and talk to each other.
Yeah, Roger. Well, yeah, that was my buddy, Don. We used to talk all over the place. Well, okay, just, like I said, I will let you go, and thanks for coming back and letting me know. This is November 8th. We're just leaving.
So, Dan, have you noticed the bands are pretty crappy?
I've noticed there's just been a lot of, like, noise, and I thought maybe it was my antenna, but, you know, I was playing around with my shortwave radio and all that stuff, and I was getting all kinds of noise on that, too, so I just think it's got to be atmospheric conditions. So I don't see any, like, you know, you go look on those reports, they don't see, like, the K high or whatever, you know, all the what would particularly be bad, right? So maybe we're not getting enough ionosphere charging.
Okay, so it's not just me. That makes me feel a little bit better because, I mean, after the antenna came out of the tree, I didn't really do much other than when I had it on the spider beam, and then that was in a weird configuration, and it was noisy then, and then I got this new antenna up, so I was like, man, what the hell happened? But I can hear stations. It's just, like you said, I've got like an S7 noise floor at all times on pretty much any band.
Yeah, the wires tend to pick up more noise. You could try, I don't know if you got one of those chokes that helps sometimes lower the noise floor. You know, those big, they look like a cylindrical tube. The My Antenna people sell them. But, I mean, are you getting any, I mean, the way you can test to see if you're having any problems like that is, are you getting any interference in your shack or anything when you transmit?
The only interference I get is from, I've got two Logitech PC speakers on my desk, and if they're on when I transmit, it like, almost monitors out of those, but I think that's because, like, my radio is about 6 inches from them.
Yeah, that's possible. But I know Greg, I'm just going by Greg, because he said when he put a his choke in line. It helps get rid of some of that noise, and then two, he said the noise floor went down a little bit. It's not going to, like, make it go away, but it might go down like an S unit.
I'm willing to try one. For where I'm at, I couldn't have any noise, at least I thought. And I haven't messed with a whole lot of radio since I've been out there to know. But when I had the wire up in a tree, the S meter, you know, my noise floor was like S3 or below, and it was amazing. But again, that was up in a tree. The only other thing I was thinking, too, is I have the antenna mounted on the house. Not on the house, but, like, I have an eyelet hanging from my soffit that the transformer is mounted to, but I don't think that would make any difference either.
Yeah, I'd just give it a week or two, see if anything changes, if it gets better, or, you know, all that stuff. But, it's noisy, but I can do, like, the IPO setting, you know, and I can bring some of that noise down, and, you know, WWV, I've been trying to, like, listen to the time on WWV, and, it wavers in and out, and it's kind of noisy. Can't really make out the guy saying that, you know, the time or whatever. You hear the beeps, of course, you know, when it changes to the next minute, but can't really make out the person talking.
Is this on your 710, or have you tried another rig?
This is on the 710. And then also, I got that Radtel RT860. So sometimes I'll, like, put a wire on that and just, like, go outside. I mean, I thought it was inside. I thought all the interference and noise was coming from inside the house. So I walk down the street where there's, like, no, you know, there's, like, the houses aren't built yet. It's a big open field, and it was still kind of noisy. So I've got to say it's the atmosphere, something in the atmosphere or whatever.
Makes me feel a little better. I was worried it was the radio. I was worried it was the antenna. I don't know. Because the 891, I don't have a whole lot of experience with it, and I know it's kind of an older radio, but I don't ever remember being this noisy. So it's either my antenna or, like you said, the atmosphere, and I'm going to go with it's probably, I'm hoping, the atmosphere, because it was doing this on my 130-foot wire as well before I moved it and took it down.
Yeah, it was just kind of going around 20 meter right now, and I mean it's kind of noisy, but like I can get my noise to go down, but that's usually like I'll turn the attenuator on and I'll you know, do the IPO setting instead of the amp 1 and amp 2, and so you can get it nice and quiet. But, you know, some people are just under the noise. There's nothing you can do about it. Like, the best way to really tell, I mean, I always use FT8, like the audio from FT8. If it's, like, really loud, you know, and the signals are really strong, then you know, like, the band's kind of open. And you can try to see if there's anybody talking voice. Sometimes people aren't talking. It's just, you know, digital going crazy because people got their automated setups going, but then there's, like, nobody talking anywhere else.
I was thinking about that, too, because I've been using POTA, basically, as my testing. So I'll go to POTA and look at the spots, and I'll see if I can hear them. And if I can hear them, I try to work them. And so far, everyone I've heard within, like, reason, you know, without being buried in the noise and fighting for it, I've been able to make a contact with, so I'm getting out. It's just not as good as what I remember.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was out here listening to you guys for a little bit. For your thing, Dakota, are you using a counterpoise on that long wire too? You got that for like a 9-to-1?
No, but I know I need to try adding it because it specifically has a little wing nut for it, and I'm pretty sure anything that's not resonant is supposed to have that. So I'll actually try that today. It's a 60-foot run of wire,
and it's a 5-1. So it's the Chameleon MCOM 2v2, if that helps with anything. But, yeah. Hold on a second. I don't know what this guy's doing. But, yeah, go ahead.
So in my experience, sorry, it's up, like my
I didn't mean to end the transmission that way. Go ahead. Hopefully that helps with whatever you were asking me.
I hit end fed half wave, and then I kind of migrated towards, added some feet, and made it random wire, whatever, 71 feet. If I didn't have a counterpoise on there, it was like night and day if I could hear anybody. Like, it was just all static and noise. As soon as I put, like, just a 20-foot piece of wire on there, it, like, quieted down. I can't actually make stuff out. So, and then now, I think I've added, I'm, like, just under 70 feet. I think I'm at, like, 69 feet on my counterpoise. I'm, like, 71 foot on my receiving wire.
Would I gain anything by clipping it to my gutters?
Probably, but you'd probably have to strip off a little bit of paint to actually get the metal and not be on the enamel.
I could always, I've got that 133-foot wire from my 1080 NFET. I could probably hook that up and see what that does.
Like, I have, you know, some days are noisier than others, but to say, like, F7 noise, that seems ridiculous to me. Like, I don't think I've ever seen more than, I mean, it depends on what band you're talking about. You try to go, like, you know, 160 in a day or something. Obviously, it's, like, all noise or whatever, but you get to, like, I don't know, like, 20. 20 is usually, like, really clear and strong-looking to me, and maybe I might have F0 to F1, like, noise on 20 meters.
That might be part of my problem, too, is the timing and the band. It's usually, like, 7 or later when I'm trying to check 20 and 40, and I feel like that's kind of the limbo time where some people are still in daytime and other people are in nighttime, so it depends on where they're located and how well I'm going to be able to hear them. But what gauge are you using for the counterpoise? Cause I'm trying to think what I got laying around.
I think it's, like, either 16 or 18. You don't really need, like, you can probably put up, like, real thin wire to go up to 100 watts easy. It doesn't take a lot.
I'll give it a whirl. So you're thinking, like, 60 to 70 feet.
You probably don't even need that, but, yeah. Like, for what I was doing, I was trying to almost make this. I thought if I would go longer, it might give me a better shot. Like, initially I had, I think, something that was cut for probably, like, a 10-meter antenna, so it was, like, probably 16 feet or something, and then I ended up just cutting something new and using that. And I think, like I said, I think if I find myself one of those, like, soft tape reels or whatever, like a big tape reel, it's, like, I think it's, like, 100 feet long. So I was really getting tired of measuring wire using, like, a metal tape measure that's only 25 feet.
All right, noted. I'll see what I got laying around. If I can make one tonight, I will. Because I imagine, like you said, it would be pretty night and day. Sorry, Dave, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you out with the 20 questions.
No, it's okay. I'm just getting a sampling of all the bands. You know, it's pretty quiet today as far as, like, not seeing. I mean, I got F7 noise, but, you know, people are making it over the noise. So, I mean, and it's all relative, too. It really depends on what you got your, you know, your filters, your attenuation, and all that stuff, because I can make the noise be really loud, right? And then I can make it really quiet. But signals are making it through on 40. 20s is doing okay. So, I mean, but there's noise. There's lots of, you know, all over the place. But, yeah, you could try the counterpoise. Just put it on the counterpoise thing. I should probably try something like that. I do not have a counterpoise on mine. I just have a you know, choked at the box or whatever, and there's a choke on the coax as well, and that seems to be working well for me. But I do have some wire that I can, like, just throw out into the yard and see if that makes any difference. I should try it as well.
For your comparisons, Dave, are you doing, like, when I'm saying for, like, my noise, I have, like, an IPO, no attenuation, I'll have, like, DNR and DNF and all that stuff on, but that shouldn't, like, affect the, like, the actual signal noise that is perceived on, like, our ears. And then, like, I'll have, like, RF gain up to, like, spun full up to 100%. And that's, like, the noise I'm saying is probably, like, maybe, like, S0, S1.
Yeah, it depends on the band. Like, 40 meter right now, I've got S7 noise floor. If I go on to 20, it goes lower, and it seems like the higher frequency, the noise floor goes down. So, just, but like I said, signals are getting through. I mean, I'm hearing people, and, you know, sometimes they're intermixed with that noise, and then you put the DNR and all that stuff on to kind of quiet it up, and you can notch them and all that fun stuff, but yeah, I mean, I'm getting a lot of noise, and it's just the nature of a wire.
Yeah, okay. Later, when I get home, I kind of want to, like, take some videos and I'll toss them up there just to show and see if we're seeing the same thing or if I'm much quieter than you guys. This is they were all using the same radio, right, like a 710?
Yeah, Dakota's got, you know, that portable one. I forgot what it is. The 100-watt 891, I think, is it. And then I've got the 710, and you've got the 710, and Captain Don's got that. But I don't know. I just, it's better than when I had the vertical. Like, as far as I don't have to go outside and raise and lower the whip anymore, which is nice. So I will take this for now and can always improve on it.
I do have an 891. I also have the FC50 tuner, and I took it apart because there's a switch in there for tune on receive, which, from what I was reading, increased the noise floor as well. And I thought I turned that off, but, like, when I'm burning through the dive, they wait every now and then as if it's trying to tune, so still trying to figure that out, but I exchanged the 710 for it because my plan is to operate portable much more than I am at home, so we'll see how this goes, but the 710 was a good radio. It was just too big for my desk and too big for portable, in my opinion. I like the small stuff I can fit in a small backpack, but I forgot to ask, where are you operating out of that you're getting that low of a noise for?
Yeah, so I'm in Troy, like Long Lake, Livernois area. So, I mean, like, we do have, like, buried power lines, so I don't necessarily have as much of that. But in theory, like, a horizontal antenna should be less noise, I think, than a vertical. I thought verticals pick up a lot of, like, the ambient crap that's around the world. So, like, I think you should have less noise, Steve, than what you used to have, at least. Like, everyone that I've done, I haven't really run the vertical that long. I have, like, that, what everyone's calling the chili dog, I guess, equivalent. And I've run that a couple times, and that seems, I don't know. I don't know that it was more noisy or not, but just from what people have heard people say is that the verticals are noisy.
Yeah, but mine's not ideal. You know, ideal, you want it to be out in the air, right? Like, nothing. Mine's, like, against the house. So it's probably picking up some stuff from the house, and we got buried lines as well. But I do want to try a counterpoise though, because that's there is a wing nut on mine, and I could just throw it out in the middle of the yard, like I said. Mine's more of a resonant antenna though. It's supposed to be 10, 15, 20, and 40, and I use the tuner to get like 17 and 80 and 160.
Let's see if I got it. Speaking of counterpoises, I'm home. I'm going to throw one up here and see if that makes any difference later. So I appreciate the advice, and I'll let you know how it does. Dave, maybe I'll catch you out there later, too. Kind of want to test 80 if you're around tonight. So just shoot me a text or something. And 8 dB up, I'm clear.
Yeah, good luck. Hopefully it works out for you. Like I said, in my experience, it was even, like, if I didn't have a counterpoise and I had it, like, on a frequency that should have people talking, it was really noisy, I could just touch the wing And then we go from, like, straight noise, hardly being able to hear them, to, like, hearing them perfectly crystal clear.
Oh, very cool. Well, I'll have to try 80 if we're around. Probably around maybe, like, we have to do, like, after 9 or something. I don't know when 80 opens. But, yeah, I'll message out on there. On Telegram and stuff. Say, hey, everybody, we're going to sit over here on 80 over here on this frequency. I don't know what we're going to do yet, but find one that's clear, see what happens.
For how it's going, like to what you were saying, I think like 160 you could probably actually fit. With anybody's antenna, it's basically going to be endless because of how close we are to the ground. No one's got antennas up like, you know, with the quarter wave of that, 40 meters, 120 foot up in the air.
Yeah, we could try it. And there's not very many people talking on 160, so we could try it and see if we, like 1.8 to almost 2, like 1.9 something. You get that last sliver for 2. So we could try it.
I don't think Don has had a random wire up too, and he was using his ICOM 7300 at 100 watts, right? So he didn't have anything too crazy that you guys were doing that before.
Yeah, and I was a little bit closer to him too. So I was at like 17 in Utica area, and so we were probably like 5 miles away from each other at that point. So. I don't know. It was and he was pretty strong too, and I wasn't doing much power. So, but that one I had a wire in a tree up about 25 feet, so that was a little different scenario. But good side, we can try. You know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
That made me neat. It's just like I've made very few contacts on 160. It's probably like. With the G90, I made, like, maybe a handful of FT8 ones, and they're all, like, within the Great Lakes region, really. Like, they were maybe, my max distance was maybe 500, like, miles or something. Like, I might have hit, like, western West Virginia or something, or eastern Pennsylvania, and, like, around the Horseshoe region and, like, Ontario. Maybe another set of Lake Michigan, get some guys in Wisconsin or something. But it was really minuscule as far as for what I was getting out.
Yeah, I wasn't getting very far either. I was getting, like, I would either get, like, in Canada, I was, like, up whatever the province is over above Minnesota. I don't remember the province next to Ontario. I don't think it's Saskatchewan. Maybe it is, I don't know. But it was the province next to it. So I got that way. And then on the weekend, I was able to get somebody in Virginia. I don't remember if it was West Virginia. I think it had to have been West Virginia because Virginia doesn't have 8. I think it's West Virginia that has 8.
Yeah, West Virginia is 8. I think Virginia proper might be a 4. That's 4 lands. Yeah, I don't know what province it is either. My Canadian geography is limited. I don't know if there's, that ends up being New Brunswick or is Manitoba and whatever is all on the west coast more. The Saskatchewan's between, I think, Manitoba and the one we're talking about.
Yeah, it was probably like Winnipeg because that looks about it. It's not labeled on here. Yeah, Manitoba. MB is the abbreviation. All right, I'm going to jump off of here. I'll be on the other one. But I got to do I'm going to take care of the garbage, so. I don't have to do it later, so I will be back later. KF8S.
You're on CDUWB.
Good afternoon. 1700 hours, mostly cloudy, 46 degrees.
NHKBB.
Good evening, 1800 hours, sunny, 42 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours, cloudy, 42 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours, cloudy, 41 degrees.
NHKBP Mobile.
Good evening, 21 hours, cloudy, 41 degrees.
VH3KSL.
Good evening, 22 hours, cloudy, 41 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours, cloudy, 41 degrees.